Should I use a buyer's agent?
Absolutely, especially since you're an investor. There's been a lot of talk over the last few years about buyer's agents versus seller's agents. And a lot of the people doing the talking haven't really made clear what the pros and cons are. Be sure you understand the differences. An agent must declare whom she or he works for. There are three possibilities: the seller, the buyer, or both, called a dual agency. This has nothing to do with who pays the agent. It is perfectly acceptable for the seller to pay an agent who works for the buyer. In fact, it's done all the time. The reason that it's important that you use a buyer's agent when you're purchasing property is that there are important legal and ethical issues involved. If the agent declares for you, then he or she has a fiduciary responsibility to you. This takes many interesting forms. For example, if your agent happens to learn that the sellers are actually willing to accept $20,000 less than their asking price, your agent is duty-bound to give you this information. On the other hand, if you're working with a seller's agent, that agent would be duty-bound not to tell you, and instead to protect the interests of the seller. Sometimes agents will declare that they are performing in a dual role, that is, that they are working for both parties. To my way of thinking, working for both parties is not acceptable. A dual agent is neither fish nor fowl. He or she can't fully represent you without hurting the seller, and vice versa. Thus, the dual agent often ends up trying to shepherd a deal through the pipeline without anyone really getting hurt. The unfortunate result for you, the buyer, is that you're not likely to get what you want. A bargain. Some excellent agents are able to handle the dual role. But for my money, I'd go with a buyer's agent any day. Which brings up another point. Who pays the buyer's agent? Do I have to pay the buyer's agent? If the seller pays the seller's agent, then it stands to reason that the buyer should pay the buyer's agent. However, as noted earlier, that's not how it usually works. Typically, the seller's agent will list a property for, say, a 6% commission. The seller's agent will then list the property with the Multiple Listing Service, MLS, or otherwise agree to co-broker the property with other agents. This typically means splitting the commission 50-50. Thus, the agent who finds the buyer gets half the commission. There's no reason that can't be your buyer's agent. And the seller's agent ends up with half. Thus, the seller actually ends up paying your agent. Sometimes, however, the seller's agent will refuse to co-broker a property. As noted, this occasionally happens in bigger investments, such as apartment buildings or commercial or industrial properties. This means that the seller's agent will want the entire commission, or at least the bigger share of it. In that case, you might indeed need to pay your buyer's agent a commission, or a portion of it. However, in this circumstance, hopefully, you won't mind because the deal will be big enough and generate enough profit to make the commission worth your while. Can I ask the broker to take less? Usually, that's a mistake. It's important to understand that there is no set or fixed or standard commission in real estate. That was done away with decades ago after a series of legal cases. Today, the commission is what the agent and the client agree that it is, and it can be any amount. However, that being said, most good agents will demand a minimum commission below which they will not work. They may say, for example, that they are worth a full 3%, half of a 6% commission, and they don't want to work for less. They will have to split that 3% with their office. Average agents split it 50-50, but top agents get as much as 80 or 90% of their portion of the commission. If you then badger them to cut their rate, you're asking them to work for less than they feel they are worth. Some extremely honest agents will simply refuse. They know their value. Others may grudgingly acquiesce, but you may have poisoned the relationship between you. They will surely resent what you did, and then you'll always be wondering if they are doing as good a job as they should. My advice is to do one of two things if you want to pay less. First, of course, find out how much the agent wants. Then, either agree to the amount or find another agent who is willing to work for less and tells you so right up front. Should I use a discount agent? In the past, there were very few agents who would work for less than a 6% commission. Years ago, most wanted 5%, then it went to 6%, and in some areas, they are now asking 7%. In fact, to help make ends meet, some offices are also trying to tack on a transaction fee of several hundred dollars. This extra money does not go to the agent, but instead goes to the office to cover its expenses. Not covered because it may be paying a top agent 80 to 90% of the commission it takes in. I've never met a buyer or seller who was happy about paying a transaction fee, and I expect these will fade away over time. Today, however, there are many agents in almost all communities who will work on a discount basis, some with very steep discounts. That means that selling agents will work for as little as 1%, instead of the 3% selling agent's typical commission. Keep in mind, however, that these may not be the sort whom you want and need when you first start investing. The reason is that these discounters may compensate for a lower commission by providing less service. If you're going to use a discount broker, be sure you get it in writing exactly the services that the broker will perform. And be sure that the services specified are the services you want and need.